This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue.
Oh, once Frankie! They used to swoon, the Bobby Soxers, they called them. Frank Sinatra, good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. People swoon when I talk. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It's Monday, August the 29th. Wow, we're flying through this month, are we not? In a few minutes, Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation is going to be here. We're going to talk about emergency room abortions in Texas and how a federal judge has put a stop to it. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And another federal judge plans to appoint, I guess you call it, a special master outside of the Justice Department to review the documents that were taken from Donald Trump's home in Florida. We are going to get some thoughts on that, along with a few other things from our eye in the northern sky a little bit later in the show, Angelo Ceresi. And California is not the only state that is set to ban the sale of gasoline new cars in 13 years. In 2035. We are going to take a look at the other states that are going to go along with California to do that. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 countries that have the most Christians, Let's see if Ed knows what's number one. And we'll do that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored, it used to be sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop, and I still have the ad here. But go over there anyway and get a haircut, because they're very good, even if they don't sponsor me anymore. They're the best place in Tampa Bay for a haircut, Dunedin. What I wanted to say is do not forget to listen to the Senior Voice America radio show, which precedes our program. They do a wonderful job, do they not? They're on here Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network. All right. So, did you say Kamala Harris was on the Artemis 1 mission rocket that was going to land on the moon, Ed? You were saying something to me.
I didn't say she was on it. She was in Orlando.
Oh, she was in Orlando. That's what you said. Yes. Okay. So she was just going to be a spectator.
And by the way, I played Frankie Fly to the Moon for the...
I know you
moon
did.
Loon,
I forgot to connect it.
It didn't go off, but, you know.
I know.
Anyway.
Fly me to the moon.
Yeah, I just figured.
So it did not go off. It's been scrubbed. The decision came shortly after NASA warned that the agency still had a lot of work to do, get to a point where it could launch the rocket following fuel leaks. Wow, and a possible crack. Discovered during final liftoff preparation. Well, it doesn't sound like they're very ready if they got fuel leaks and a crack in the damn
thing.
Well,
you have to remember, this is the first time they're fueling it up and all that stuff, you know, and this is going to happen, that this is a totally new system for them. Although the solid rocket boosters on each side, that's the technology I saw from the shuttle days. So they're kind of mixing the old with the new, and we'll see what happens.
You know, it's interesting, too, because... Now that we've got people like Elon Musk that are launching equipment into space, and he's done fairly well. He's done track record.
They took their lumps early, though. You know,
yes.
Remember, one exploded and one didn't land right.
Correct.
And, you know,
but we've got what I'm trying to say is we've got the private sector and the public sector that are working on, you know, launching things into space.
Yeah, I just don't find the need to go to the moon, to tell you that.
We've been there.
Been there, done that. From what I heard, this is a political pissing match, basically.
Okay.
They want to go back there so China can't say, well, we, you know, this is our territory, whatever.
Well, we had that same feeling with Russia, of course, when we were going to the moon. We wanted to be there before they got there and all that stuff. Anyway, they're going to set a relaunch attempt on Friday at the earliest.
So Kamala has a few days to do nothing. She's got her schedule's clear. Maybe she could, she's halfway here, we're going to fly over to the border, see what all the hubbub's about, you know, maybe take a look at it.
I don't think that's on her schedule.
Hightail it back to Washington.
Yeah. It would be nice if she would show up there. I think Mayorkas showed up again. He showed up, but, you know, he won't talk with border officials that'll give him the what for. Mm. He'll just stand there and take a photo opportunity. And he'll talk with people that are, what is it, sympathetic to the so-called border philosophy of the Democrats. Mm. Anyway, let's just keep our fingers crossed on the NASA launch.
Yeah.
We want to see it become successful.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll
wonder what they'll do when they get there with it.
I just hope they don't have to roll the whole thing back into the shed there and put it up on jacks and change the tires and put it back out there again.
Well, now that I read up on this, they were going to have a crew capsule with three test dummies.
It's going to be.
I can't help myself. I hope. Let's put it this way. I hope Kamala comes back for the next launch. Okay. All right. So a federal judge has announced his preliminary intent to appoint what's called a special master to review records that were seized by the FBI during that raid on Trump's home here in Florida. Now, this guy, I think he's a Republican federal judge here in Florida, but Trump and his team filed a motion last week seeking an independent review of these records. Now, the problem is that the FBI has been, it's too late. You know, the independent review as to, here, you can look at this, but you can't look at this.
Yeah.
I think the FBI has already started looking. I would be very surprised during all this time if they hadn't started looking.
And they'll be happy to drag this thing out as long as they possibly can.
But this guy, this judge, Florida judge, Aileen Cannon, said over the weekend that the decision was made to appoint the special master upon the review of the Trump submissions and the exceptional circumstances presented. So we'll see where all of that goes. I'm not sure it's hurting Trump. I'm still thinking that people know that there are two kinds of justice coming out of the Justice Department right now. It's clearly, with Hunter Biden, it's suppress, or with Hillary Clinton, it's suppress. So we'll see where all of that goes. In the meantime, listen to this. Lindsey Graham, he's that senator from South Carolina. He's a Republican. He said there will be riots in the streets if Trump faces charges on the Mar-a-Lago raid. He made the explosive prediction on a Fox program in an interview with former Congressman Trey Gowdy. He said that there's no law, and he said there's a double standard when it comes to Trump, and compared the situation to the Hillary Clinton use of a personal email server. He said if there's a prosecution of Trump for mishandling the documents after the Clinton debacle, which you, Trey Gowdy, presided over and did a hell of a good job, there will be riots in the streets.
The judge is a woman. Is that correct? I think you said male.
Oh, it could be. I did not say it was a male. No, I said it was a federal judge.
A crotchety old man who somebody peed in his Cheerios this morning said you keep saying it's a male.
So, I didn't say it's a male.
Sometimes people hear what they want to hear.
You're talking about today?
The woman. The woman.
Aileen.
The judge.
I didn't say it's a male or a female. I just said the federal. Anyway, it's a female. Good. I like females. We're happy. All right. We're going to take our break, if we can do it. And when we come back, Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation.
From Pasadena.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday, Freedom Works. We thank you so very, very much for taking a little time to listen to our program. And we're delighted to have Sarah Perry back again. She is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about something that a lot of people probably haven't heard much about, Sarah. This federal judge struck down issued an order blocking the Biden administration to force emergency room doctors to perform abortions. Now, this is a rather interesting case. Could you tell us a little bit about the background and why the judge decided to do this?
Is working very hard and very creatively to use whatever authority they purportedly have under federal law to be able to institute abortion protections throughout the states. Obviously, now the Supreme Court having sent the issue back to the people's elected representatives, the Biden administration is in a scramble, and particularly so just in advance of midterm. So Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra issued some guidance on something called EMTALA, and that is the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. And it's been used since 1986 to essentially ensure public access to emergency services, regardless of whether an individual could pay. The payment goes to the fact that these hospitals are in receipt of Medicare. So for all hospitals participating with Medicare, they have to take in anyone who comes to them who's in an emergency situation, including pregnant women who might be in labor, and that's part of their contractual relationship with the federal government. What this guidance from the HHS department essentially said, however, was that the woman who came in pregnant, who was seeking an abortion as an emergency condition, and I'm using very big air quotes here, was required to get an abortion. So it was a pretty lawless attempt to turn all emergency rooms in the country into voluntary abortion clinics. And this judge out of Texas, Judge James Wesley Hendricks, essentially determined that, listen, EMTALA has never been used to require abortion. In fact, the language of the law itself indicates specifically that the physician's best medical judgment should be used to protect both the pregnant woman and the unborn child. Yes. So it's a great outcome coming out of Texas. We see a lot of good judges and a lot of good opinions there, but it really did sort of take the wind a bit out of the sails of the Biden administration.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, this so-called Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, the idea is not to just allow abortions willy-nilly because a woman comes into the emergency room and says, you know what, I got this condition, and I think I need to have an abortion so I can remedy the condition, when the two are not related.
Correct.
And it just becomes an excuse. Are there any other states, Sarah, where there is similar legislation where you might say that that women with that want abortions would take advantage of in emergency rooms? Or is this the only one?
We're seeing similar litigation coming out of the state of Idaho, and that is a state in which the Biden administration actually launched its own lawsuit. Now, this in the state of Texas was a response to a lawsuit that the state of Texas had itself brought against the Biden administration, but the roles are reversed coming out of Idaho. And this just a few days ago, at the end of last week, there was an opposite outcome here. In fact, the Idaho hospital administrators said, we can't comply with both our state abortion law and our federal abortion law. And in that case, the U.S. District Judge, Judge Lynn Windmill, essentially determined that Idaho's law conflicts with the federal ban, the federal guidance coming out of HHS, because it bans abortions in almost all circumstances. And the language of the Idaho law is a little different. In fact, what it allows is a defense to be raised at trial should a doctor be sued individually for failing to perform the required pregnancy or abortion service. And so the hospital administrator said, we can't be set up to be in fear constantly, right, using our best medical judgment. But this was a victory for the Biden administration. I think it's an incorrect one, and that's because EMTALA is a funding provision. So even if, assuming for argument's sake, Idaho's law conflicted with the guidance from HHS, all they'd have to do is say, we won't take Medicare funding, and then we're safe from prosecution, right, in the future.
You know, this is a perfect example of why you don't want to have the government funding anything. Go back to this whole concept. You don't want the government funding anything because it curtails your freedom to do what you want. Getting back to the Texas situation, I would think that this would be for a poor emergency room doctor, you know. What a horrible thing to have to worry about. Oh, my God. You know, here's a woman. She's in an emergency situation, and she wants an abortion. And now I got to become like God here to figure out whether or not she would fall under, you know. And if I don't do it, I'm going to be in big trouble here, and I'll lose my job, or I'll be sued or something like that.
Absolutely.
So this takes a lot of pressure off those guys, doesn't it?
It really does, because once the legislature has democratically enacted these laws, and again, it's the province of the people's representatives, so this abortion trigger law is now in place, it really takes the heat off these doctors, and it sends them back to the status quo where they've always been using their best medical judgment to protect both the woman and the unborn child. And EMTALA was never designed to be an abortion protective law. So really, it protects these doctors, the women, and the unborn. It's a great outcome.
Yeah. Sarah, in a more general sense, and by the way, we're talking with Sarah Perry, a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and specializes in things like this, this kind of legislation. So we, you know, kind of stepping back with the I guess you could say the curtailment of Roe versus Wade and all of these decisions now going back to the states. A lot of Democrats are saying the Supreme Court decision will actually be helpful to pro-choice people when come the election time, because there'll be such outrage. But I'm not so sure about of that. I am really not so sure that it's going to be a big issue, if it is an issue, because I think there's a lot more, I don't know, I always had the sense that there's a lot more people that understand the importance of unborn human life than we are willing to admit.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you that the polling most recently out of Rasmussen is indicating to us that voters believe, and I think rightly so, that the economy is the biggest issue right now, that abortion is not trending in the top three. So we're seeing really motivated voters. And again, there have been quite a number of fundraising efforts directly related to the outcome in the Dobbs versus Jackson case. We anticipate that. We anticipate a lot of media campaigns, blitzes, direct marketing, specifically specifically on this issue, but the fact of the matter is, now that we know it's been sent back to the people's representatives, you can still vote your values, both at the federal level and at the state level, and predominantly so at the state level. So it is not as if the issue of abortion has been wrestled away from the American public. In fact, it is a pro democracy decision. It sends it back to individuals to be able to vote for those candidates who represent their interests.
Yeah, indeed.
And in that way, they believe truly, and I think, again, rightly so, that the economy, which is largely out of their hands, is a bigger issue here.
Yeah, I think there's no question. The economy, I even think the border situation is a bigger issue than the abortion situation. But I think what the Supreme Court has got right is the very substance of our Constitution, which is that the bulk of decision-making when it comes to these things should be in the hands of the states rather than the federal government. That was the idea of the Founding Fathers. They wanted a limited and weaker federal government than the state governments. And we have forgotten
Absolutely.
That. And I guess by its very nature, the federal government will grow unless you continue to remember what our Constitution is all about.
Well, and this administration loves to grow the federal government. It loves to use what we call the administrative state, all of its executive agencies, to try to accomplish everything it can without sending the matter to Congress. It doesn't want these issues subject to open debate. It doesn't want the transparency of being able to vote your values. And so it's using everything it can. And truly, I've told people this is almost a matter of whack-a-mole, specifically on the issue of abortion, because the administration is using every conceivable law that it can possibly color or characterize as giving it the authority to create national abortion policy, when in fact it has no such authority.
Indeed. Getting back to this particular case in Texas, do you think it will be appealed by the Biden administration?
I don't think it will be appealed because they have just achieved a victory in Idaho. But I do believe out in Idaho, we are most likely to see that state appeal the decision to the Ninth Circuit. Now, they're unlikely to get a good determination in the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit is a traditionally activist circuit, and it takes a reading of the law that strains credulity more often than not, but they are likely to appeal. I don't think the administration will waste its efforts in Texas. Texas, again, will go to the Fifth Circuit, and that will be a good outcome
right, regardless.
So I think they're most likely to anticipate a defensive posture out in the state of Idaho and hope that the Ninth Circuit will uphold the trial court's decision there.
Indeed. And do you think that one would go to the Supreme Court?
Well, if we have a conflict of circuits, which obviously would be the case, then definitely that sets up a conflict for the Supreme Court. But based on what we've seen from this previous term, this Supreme Court takes a very textualist, limited, originalist understanding of laws as they were written and laws as they were intended to be used. They struck down the CDC eviction moratorium. They struck down the national vaccine mandate for federal workers. They have recognized that this administration has stretched the law beyond what it was intended to do. And so if it is appealed ultimately to the Supreme Court because of a conflict between the circuits, I don't think the outcome is looking like a good one for the Biden administration.
Well, I'm kind of glad that they are falling back and taking another look at the Constitution before they rule. It's kind of a nice feeling. Sarah, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. I thank you so very much, and I'm looking forward to our next time that we chat.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Sarah Perry from the Heritage Foundation. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, our Eye in the Northern Sky will join us. We're going to talk a little bit about the banning of new gas cars in 2035 in states other than California.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vacara, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this TAN Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Freedom Works. And delighted to have our Eye in the Northern Sky join us, Angelo Ceresi, up there in New York. And speaking of New York, Angelo, hopeful Lee Zeldin, who is running for the governorship of New York on the Republican ticket. He was hoping to have Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida join him over the weekend, actually yesterday in a campaign event. But Governor DeSantis had to cancel due to what was called a, quote, unforeseen tragedy. Now, I don't know what that is. It might be a family situation. But he was not able to join Lee Zeldin, who, by the way, is a congressman from New York. And, of course, Zeldin wants to wrest the governorship from Kathy Hochul. So just wanted to mention that to you. I know you're going to follow that race with some interest, right?
Absolutely. I'm the vice chair of the Gates Town and County Republican Committee.
Are you?
And I guess he's coming to town. Yes, and I guess he's coming to town here on Thursday.
So, Lee Zeldin.
There. Yes.
Oh, wonderful. What do you think his chances are of, you know, we always worry about New York. It's so liberal. But outside of New York City, it's really not that all that liberal.
No, upstate New York is very conservative, and it's he's leading in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
Down in the boroughs of New York City, that it's always a tough fight.
Yeah. It's a question of enthusiasm, too, this time around, you know? Who has more enthusiasm? I think the Republicans probably do.
I know in upstate New York there's quite a bit of enthusiasm here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're hoping to wrest the governorship. I mean, I guess he's been pounding the pavement down there in the boroughs, you know, in New York City. Hopefully closing the gap. You know, you still got couple of months to go.
Well, you know, with the crime being such an issue in major cities, and New York is also one of those places, I would think a lot of people are going to have second thoughts because they've been electing Democrats in these major cities, you know, forever. And now it's gotten to the point where crime is so rampant and obvious to people. And, you know, every day you see a story, somebody getting cold cocked on the street, or somebody breaking into any kind of a store and just walking out with the stuff without anybody stopping them.
And also carjacking.
Carjackings, right. So don't you think it finally sinks in with some of these liberals in the cities?
Well, you know, the Republicans have to stay on message. They have to continually, 24/7, keep talking about the crime, the high rate of crime, and the new bail laws that they have here in New York State. If they stay on that message, they should win. I mean, common sense has got to tell you that.
Is that the state? Is that where that guy knocked somebody into a coma and they let him out right away? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
New York State.
Some homeless guy knocked a guy, cold cocked him into a coma, and they let him out right away. Well, they finally threw
him out.
I'm sorry? Now, I would.
Let him out.
Yeah, I would hammer that if I was Lee Zeldin. I'd be talking about that every day.
He should be. Every day they should be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the economy. Everything that the Democrats are just keep talking about Trump. They keep pushing aside what's going on. They don't have a message other than Donald Trump.
You're right. We're speaking with our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, getting back to Ron DeSantis, he was scheduled to join Lee Zeldin. Apparently they're going to try to get him back there at a later date. But here's what Kathy Hochul had to say recently about Ron DeSantis in Florida. She says, "I just want to say to the 1.77 million Jews who call New York home, thank you for calling New York home. Don't go anywhere or to another state. Florida is overrated." She said that when signing a Holocaust education bill. She says, "I shouldn't say this, but look at the governor. It starts at the top down." So there she is, Kathy Hochul going after Florida and Governor DeSantis. I don't think that's a smart thing to do.
Well, no, she's trying to get the Jewish vote down in New York City.
Yeah.
She signed that bill with the Holocaust. Everything that she is doing is pandering to her base and to, you know, to get the votes.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Okay, now, this federal judge announced, it's a woman, who announced a preliminary intent to appoint what's called a special master to review the records that were seized from Trump's Florida home. Here's the deal. How long has the Justice Department and the FBI been sitting on those records that they took out of Trump's home? Don't you think they're already looking through it? Isn't it maybe a little too late to appoint a special master?
I think it's a little bit too late. And we all know that it's just a game that they're playing to find any little thing that they can to try to indict him or to keep him in the news so that the Democrats don't have to keep defending what the way the economy is and the crime is and everything else that's happening in the country.
So you think, in a way, it's just, focus on this and not on all the other things that are going on.
Absolutely. I mean, they're trying to find any little thing that they can pin on him for January the 6th and to, you know, just as a decoy so that they don't have to talk about the economy.
You know,
ruined.
You know, the interesting thing is it may backfire, too, because everybody that is kind of feeling that Trump's getting a raw deal brings up the Hillary Clinton thing and the Hunter Biden laptop. Hillary Clinton with the email server in her basement with all of the classified information on there, and of course the Hunter Biden laptop. So those things get brought up again. Here's Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, the Republican. He said that if Trump faces charges over his handling of the documents at Mar-a-Lago, there will be riots on the streets. Wow. Do you think that might be true?
Well, it could possibly be. I mean, I feel really bad that this guy, for the last 6 years, has been tormented by this. They didn't even give him a chance to be president of the United States to try to get his programs through or anything. All they've done is go after this guy from the day he came down the steps down there in New York City, to announce he's going to run for president. And they have never given up, and they keep going at it. And I think, you know, a lot of people are going to be really bent out of shape what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this will fire up. If they indict him and they do all this, I'm sure it's going to fire up the Republican base more so than ever before.
I would think so, too. We were mentioning the FBI in this. Mark Zuckerberg went on a podcast, Joe Rogan podcast, and he brought up the fact that the FBI contacted his company and basically told them not to say too much about the Hunter Biden laptop story because it was probably a Russian disinformation program. Now, he didn't say that in so many words, he didn't say that directly, but in so many words he said that. He said, and so the FBI has now responded to Zuckerberg's claim that Facebook limited Hunter's story after they warned him. And they said that the agency, the FBI, has provided companies with, quote, foreign threat indicators to help them protect their platforms and customers from abuse by foreign malign influence actors. It says the FBI will continue to work closely with federal, state, local, and private sector partners to keep the public informed of potential threats. But the FBI cannot ask or direct companies to take action on information received. So they're trying to cover their backsides here. They did indeed contact Facebook, and they did indeed tell them, don't talk about the Hunter Biden laptop, because it's probably a disinformation program, when they knew damn well that it was not, you know?
Right. It was all fabricated. The disinformation, the Russian disinformation, was all fabricated. That has been proven as a fact. And, you know, you also had that FBI agent that said that we're never going to let Trump become president, and his girlfriend,
right,
lawyer.
Mm-hmm. I remember that guy.
So, you know, all this stuff has been collusion on the FBI's part. I mean, and, you know, the FBI has to come clean. They have to clean it up at the top.
Isn't that...
They are so corrupt.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a grand jury thing? Isn't that in New York State with Hunter Biden's laptop? And where the hell is it going? I mean, what? Who's sitting on it? Why haven't we heard any progress on that?
You're not going to hear any progress on that because it's been hushed up.
It's been suppressed. Yeah.
During the campaign of 2020, when they said that, you know, it was all disinformation and everything like that, right? The laptop.
Mm-hmm. They knew right away. They knew as soon as they got that thing in their clutches that it was real. You can't tell me they didn't know it.
Well, they knew it, but you also have to remember, Paul, that they have voting now weeks ahead of time. And if that came out, how many people do you think would have voted for Joe Biden?
Right.
If they saw all this stuff really happening. That's why you cannot have early voting, because stuff comes out.
Right.
Prior to all this stuff, you can't. They should just have Election Day, and that's it.
I agree. I think we should go back to Election Day voting only. You're right.
I mean, they should make it a national.
But it wouldn't have made any difference in this case, because they continued to suppress it up to Election Day.
Well, they did. So they're suppressing it, but you also have the 2 weeks prior to election. So they suppress all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you have a chance something might come out
right
before election.
I agree. No, I agree. And that's my main reason for wanting only voting at the polls is honesty, is getting an accurate count. I'm worried sick about mail-in voting, and here we are in Florida where we do have mail-in voting, and it's probably safer than most other places. It's been going on for a while, but even here, I really wonder how many people take advantage one way or the other with mail-in voting.
Well, you know, I worked for the Postal Service for 41 years. I was a supervisor. And, you know, when you have those mail-in ballots, if you go into an apartment building, they got very small boxes in the wall. The carrier uses what's called an arrow key to open it up.
Yes.
And he'll put mail inside. Many times you cannot put flyers or even those ballots into the collection box, so they put it on the floor.
Oh, my God. Anybody can pick it up.
Anybody can pick it up, right. They've picked up coupons. People have done
I never thought of that.
And that's why I'm so darn against mail-in ballots. And the Democrats know this. That, I mean, anybody who's worked in the Postal Service knows that. So, I mean,
yeah,
I worked on the carrier end, you know, and I'm surprised nobody has spoken up about it.
If it was the other way around, and for some reason Republicans like mail-in voting because it's been working for them, and it wasn't working for Democrats, I'm telling you, the media would jump on this whole thing. They would talk about how the numbers would be, susceptible to fraud. I know it would be that way. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When President Bush won the election there with the hanging chads and everything, and Gore wouldn't give up. I mean, then they were challenging the votes, just like they were challenging the votes in 2020. But it's okay for them to challenge the votes, but not for the Republicans.
Right. And we got Stacey Abrams that still thinks she won that election. Years later in Georgia, she's a Democrat. She's challenging the votes in Georgia. So it depends on whose ox is being gored, you know? It really does.
Right. Right. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever get back to the way it should be. I mean, it's gotten so corrupt. And if you remember, if you recall, in the 2016 elections, who was the lady that she was chairman of the Democratic Party? She was giving Hillary Clinton notes. And the other lady.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
That was the chairman. They were giving her questions to what the debates were going to be
yes.
about.
Yep. Yeah, there was going to be this town. Yeah, there was this town hall. I remember that thing. And the woman that you're right. talking about was, I think at the time, she was actually showing up on CNN as a, I don't know, a regular. And she was feeding, she had fed questions to Hillary Clinton ahead of time. Yeah, there's no question about it.
Everything that President Trump has foretold has come to pass, has it not? Everything that he has talked about when he said that the new Green Deal was going to cost you money, look what's happening.
Yep.
Everything. Everything that he says, they're attacking our Second Amendment rights. Look what Kathy Hochul's doing over here with the, you know, disregarding what the Supreme Court says. These people, these Democrats, you know that if they win, they're going to pack the Supreme Court, right?
They're going to try.
And then they're going to try. So get an amendment on the abortion issue. They're going to fight that to the tooth and nail. This is the only thing they got going for them. Mm-hmm. They're energizing their base with the abortion and the Second Amendment and everything. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, you can kiss this country goodbye.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you on Mondays, Angelo. Thank you so very much. I look forward to next Monday.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. All right, Angelo Ceresi. We're going to take our final break, and among other things, we're going to tell you, now I've always been interested in this, what are the top 10 countries that have the most Christians? I think you'll be surprised.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment. Freedom Works on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the Tantalk Network from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and we thank you when you can listen. But if you cannot listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on tape, on a podcast, on our website. So just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Take your pick of the shows. Ed puts the guest and the top 10. That's all you have to do. All right. So, Ed, we had been talking about California and banning the sale of gasoline-powered cars after 2035. Did you know there were other states that are going along with this as well? It isn't just California. But right now, Virginia, Massachusetts, and Washington State are also scheduled to do the same thing and ban the sale of gasoline new cars in 2035.
I still don't get this whole green energy. I got a question. This is a yes or no answer. This is yes or no, period. For those of you listening, especially on Thursday, if you want to mull this over between now and then. When you go to charge your electric car, is it charged by green energy? Yes or no?
That's a good question.
Is it charged by green, or is it just charged by electricity? Boom.
That's it.
You go to Circle K, you go to Wawa, I'm sure they don't have solar panels out there to form some green energy to charge your car. It comes directly from electricity.
Yes.
So I don't get it.
And where do they get the electricity, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
How is the electricity made?
Yep. All these pollutants.
I don't get it.
All these pollutants are needed to create the electricity so that they can have their electric-powered cars. But they don't want to. People don't want to think that far. You know, they don't want to think that much when it comes to that. They're easily swayed. Here's the deal: in Virginia, Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin is working to get rid of that mandate. He's going to dismantle Virginia's push toward electric vehicles. He called the move ridiculous to, you know, outlaw the sale of gasoline-powered cars after 2035. Now, the former governor, Democrat Ralph Northam, had signed legislation last year tying the state's emission policies to the California Air Resources Board.
Yeah.
So whatever California does, Virginia was going to do, you see?
And California's doing so well.
Exactly. So this is why Youngkin, the current governor, Republican, is working to dismantle it. Now, Washington and Massachusetts have a similar deal.
Mm-hmm.
They trailer hitched their laws mm-hmm. to the California law. Washington Governor Jay Inslee announced last week that the state would join California in phasing out new gas and diesel cars by 2035. So I was thinking it was just California when we were talking before. I'm not so happy to hear that.
Because sometimes stupid hangs out in bunches.
Yes.
And groups.
You're right. Okay, before we get to our top 10, I got to talk with you. I think you were probably right about Tom Brady. I thought he might play a little bit more than he did. They only had him in. Now that we're talking about this final exhibition game that they played over the weekend. Did you watch the game?
I did. It was really hard to watch because it's just, you know.
Yeah, because you're not out there to win.
Those guys are not going to be on the team. A lot of those guys won't be on the team.
Did Brady look okay?
He looked fine.
Oh, good.
He looked fine. By the way, I wanted to mention you about California. You know who Ozzy Osbourne is, right?
Oh, yes.
The crazy guy and his whole family.
He used to bite the heads off chickens.
Yeah, they live in California. Well, not any longer. Ozzy said, and this coming from Ozzy, he says, California is too crazy. We're moving back to England where I can die
really?
In peace. He says, when I want to die, I want to die in England. I don't want to die in crazy California.
Wow.
Or basically, the U.S. is crazy, too.
I remember more of his wife than I do him because she was quite a celebrity.
Yeah, I mean, she was on those women panels.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to get a soundbite out of Ozzy without it being a...
Is he very ill?
No, he just said, you know, he's getting up there in age.
Yeah, I know, but...
You know, he just
You always think he's going to die because he always looks like he's about to die.
He said, I'm getting close to dying. I want to go home. I don't die in crazy in California.
Okay. Well, I kind of like him. I always did kind of like him. He's an interesting guy. He marches to his own tune.
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife. Okay. All right. It's time for our top 10, Ed. And this is the countries with the highest total number of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just for a little background, approximately 2.4 billion people practice some form of Christianity on this planet. This means that about one-third of the world's total population is Christian, okay? This is according to Pew Research. And by the way, these population numbers are as of 2015. They're not as new as I would like, but they're the only ones I could find. So here we go. Top 10 countries, the highest Christians. Number 10, Germany. Yep, Germany. Got a lot of Lutherans in Germany. Mm. 54,880,000. Number 9. This one kind of shocked me. I would never have thought of it. Ethiopia. Ethiopia in Africa. 57,450,000 Christians over there. Number 8. China. Yeah, China.
Even in communist China, you're allowed to have
you're
religion.
Allowed to, remember how big it is, but believe it or not, they have Christians. 70,890,000 to be exact. Mm. Quite a lot. Number 7.
That's a heck of an offering plate.
Number 7 is the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Must have been a lot of missionaries in Africa because this is the second country from Africa. 72,090,000 Christians in the Congo. Number 6, another African country, Nigeria. Nigeria, 86,650,000 Christians in Nigeria.
Mm.
Number 5, the Philippines. The Philippines, 94,300,000. Number 4, would you believe Russia?
Wow.
Russia. 103,490,000. Isn't that surprising to you?
Yeah.
Number 3. Mexico. Our neighbors to the south. 113,620,000.
We're all praying to get across the border.
A lot of them trying to get over here. Number 2. A little further south, Brazil. Brazil. 179,910,000 Christians in Brazil. I'd say about 99% of them are Catholic.
Mm.
All right, Ed, have you been listening?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what country has the most Christians?
Been thinking
you think about
you,
it?
Every time you say one, I'm thinking of one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Wow. Can I bring in a phone lifeline?
You can get one lifeline call.
I was going to call the Thursday show. I'm sure they know.
Yeah, you can call the Thursday show.
What country's got the most Christians?
And they'll make it up if they don't. You can have, your lifeline would be Lola, but she's not here.
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's an honest answer. The good old USA.
I thought that'd be too easy.
We are number one. I did not know that until I did this thing. And listen to this. Where Brazil has about 180 million, we have 248,180,000. So we rank way above the second place finisher.
Hmm.
We got a lot of Christians here still.
Yeah.
Now, how many of them actually go to church?
Well,
that's another story.
You know, with COVID and everything, I know the church is like everybody else taking a beating over the
By the way, speaking of that, do you think that people are, because of COVID and because of all the things that have been going on, do you think that people are being attracted back to religion a little bit? It just, I know you have no idea, but I'm just, what do you think?
Maybe because of all the things that are going on.
Do you think that people are actually, you know, in the time of crisis, like war and everything, a lot of people turn to God again.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sure in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Things like that. Okay. Anyway, thank you so very much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, please remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan.